Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode number 70. I am Jeff. I am joined by Chris.
Yo.
We kind of got a hodgepodge, bit of a mix here today. We're going to start off with a new movie that was just released on Netflix, I believe. Chris, what is this?
Yeah, just released on Netflix, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. That's a mouthful right there. It is a sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which was 16 years ago. Friggin' nuts. This picks up sometime after that. Not really sure how long, but it features Michelle Yeoh, who was in the original movie, as the same character, Yu Shi Lin, kind of like a master swordswoman. And you know, it has the sword from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the green blade. There's probably a name for it. I don't know what the hell it is. This is a weird, weird movie. One, I'm not really sure like what the reasoning to return to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was. Like, I really don't know. They did. not with Ang Lee as director, not with Chow Yun-fat, not with Zia Yang. Outside of Michelle Yeoh, nothing here connects to that original movie. Donnie Yen's in it; he's pretty decent as I guess the other male lead that would have been in Chow Yun-fat's kind of position, and there's another newcomer, Natasha. These are all like very Chinese names. Liu, or something. I don't know. I can't pronounce her name. She is like an Australian Chinese. She's born in Australia. But she is like the other main star of this, which I guess angered some Chinese people because, hey, you couldn't even get full Chinese people to be in your movie about China, which was a big piece of what Ang Lee did back with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Was, you know, that whole film was filmed in, I think the whole thing was in Chinese. I believe it was Cantonese. Like, it was all subtitled. This is all in English.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The entire thing's in English. It's a kung fu movie. There's wire work. There's some sword fights. It's a bit absurd at times. There's one scene that I was just like, I don't remember Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon having any like goofiness to it. It's a pretty serious movie.
Yeah.
This has a fight scene about a third of the way through that is borderlines like slapstick humor. It's really, really weird. It's not a good movie. It's a Netflix original, I guess. It's out there. If you're looking for like, you know, I don't know. If you're looking for this type of movie, there's better ones out there. I mean, obviously, the original Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. There's like Jet Li's Hero, House of Flying Daggers. That stuff's out there to watch. You don't need to go and watch this kind of Americanized nonsense that is up there. So, yeah. I'm going to go with 2 stars on this one.
Yikes. I was not a fan of the original, so I wasn't planning on checking it out. But that was like a big thing in the original, though, was like the wire work stuff, right?
And the wire work is decent here. Yeah, the wire work in 2000 when Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out was like the big thing. It was amazing looking.
Yeah.
This is stuff that's been going on in Chinese cinema for years, but, you know, as a big Western movie, getting that wire work over here was kind of a big deal, and there was this resurgence of, well, I guess not even a resurgence, there was this introduction of those types of movies. I know Jet Li had a bunch of them that came out after that, and there was mean, varying degrees of good, but it definitely introduced America to that type of genre, and it's faded away. I guess they're trying to bring it back, but this this was not the way to do
It's
it.
not the way, yeah. Well, not all Netflix originals can be winners. I mean, they usually hit them out of the park, so.
Yeah, they generally do a pretty good job.
Yeah, I can't. You certainly. I had no interest, and now I have even less. It's too bad, though. I mean, you could use good kung fu movies.
Yeah, I was hoping it would have been good, but
I just remember the first one being ultra serious and like kind of like artsy fartsy, and
it
like I was,
was a bit.
I just remember I remember going into it thinking it was gonna be a badass like kung fu movie, and it was a lot of like I don't know, it was like a love story or something. I don't even remember.
It is. It's actually based on Chinese romance novels, so there is definitely a love story to it all. And then that's this too. Like, and it's this is
Yeah.
that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was based on the fourth book in that series. This is based on the fifth book in that series. There's still a love story at its core, like they're romance novels, but you go in kind of expecting, you know, there was also the very serious, you know, kung fu and wire work going on in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Not there with this, so.
Oh, well. Too bad. Like you said, there's other options. I saw Room, which you heard of this one, Chris?
I won a couple Academy Awards.
Yeah, Brie Larson won Best Actress. Did it win something else?
Might have only won. Won one. Won
Okay.
one.
I remember, yeah, I remember for sure she won. This is it stars her and this kid, Jacob Tremblay. It is a story, very tough subject matter. It's about a girl who's been held captive in a room for 7 years, and she's had a son with her captor. This kind of crime has actually happened a couple times, sadly enough. And this is a look at, you know, this is like a fictional, look at like that crime.
Right.
It is based on a novel and adapted from the novel by the same writer, Emma Donoghue, something like that. if you do you know have you heard much about this movie, Chris?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I think I saw a clip. It was nominated for Best Picture, right? I believe.
Yeah, I believe it was
Yes,
as.
I think I saw when they were when they did like the clip for that.
Okay. I mean, if you watch the trailer or anything, I don't think it's giving too much away to say that like they do get out of this room that they're held captive in.
Okay.
What's really interesting about the movie though is the majority of it, I would say more than half of it, is after that, after their escape.
Okay.
It's kind of, so if you're going and expecting them, you know,
To be in this enclosed space for the entirety of the movie, it's
yeah,
not.
and that they're going to be trapped in there, and the whole thing is going to be about how they get out. It's not, but they do that. Like the first 40 minutes or so, it's just you're getting like introduced to these characters, like what the hell is going on. Then you start to like understand like they are in some sort of like bunker type thing where this dude comes down at night and rapes her while the kid sleeps in a cupboard. Yeah, and the kid hears and sees what's going on and stuff. Just really like fucking it's tough material. And then eventually they come up with a plan to get out and it works, and but the escape is very suspenseful, very like just like a nail biting sequence that's really well done. But then the movie goes and deals with how one, her being in there for 7 years, how that affects her life and her adjustment to the real world, and her son, who has only known that room for his whole life, he's like 5 years old, and him just adjusting to the world in general, like he's never seen it before, and it's really, really good. It's a very good movie. Just the things that you wouldn't think about, like, even I thought a lot of it, you know, once they got out, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be the kid, you know, come to terms with like just regular things like what is a dog, you know, what is a car, you know, stuff like that. And that is a huge part of it, but then there's also a part of it with like she was like a teenager when this guy, you know, kidnapped her. And so she's never actually lived in the world as an adult either. You know what I mean? So she's like 25 years old or whatever now. And she's coming back home to her room that is a 17-year-old girl's room. And that's the last thing she, like, you know, that's her house. That's what she remembers. And the movie does a very good job of just exploring the effects of that, you know, horrible experience, like what it would have on both of these characters. Wonderful performances from both her and Jacob Tremblay, the kid. Although I do think he gets a little precious at times. But she is just phenomenal, and no surprise to me that she won Best Actress.
That sounds kind of like a very serious Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, well, I have not seen Kimmy Schmidt, but yeah, sure. And the only like bad thing I would say about it is that at points, it's almost like it doesn't trust the because the material is just it's very strong and very challenging, but it's almost like it doesn't trust the material and it goes for these just a couple scenes that are like you could see it reaching for an Oscar, you know what I mean? Like kind of trying too hard
It's
and
like it's baiting it.
yeah, like you know, there's like a scene where her and her mother and everyone starts shouting at each other in the living room, and the kid's sitting there on the floor, like covering his ears, like, oh, you know, this is too much. I was like, dude, the material itself is so strong and potent that you don't need to do that stuff. You know, it's the places where the movie goes is just really dark. Like, there's a part where they're eating dinner together. This is after they got out and everything, and she notices that her father won't look at her son, you know, and she kind of calls him out on it, and he's just like, "I'm sorry, I can't," because he's looking at him as a product of her rape, you know.
I mean, yeah, I guess there's a lot of things that everybody has to touch on, like when
Yeah,
that happens, so.
I mean, it's like I said, it's very tough material, and it just didn't need some of these scenes where you could see it trying to go for awards. And it has these kind of cutesy things where the kid, you know, once he's out, he's like describing the world, and it's kind of, I think it's trying to give you like a perspective on life and viewing the world through those types of eyes where everything is just amazing. And those scenes are fine, but they just do it a couple times, and I'm like, you guys are really hoping for that, you know, Best Picture Oscar or whatever. But that, you know, doesn't totally detract from it. This is well worth seeing. It's a very good movie with some great performances. It's just the subject matter is also, you know, I think for some people going to be real tough to watch. But the movie is never like graphic or gross with the stuff in the room. It's just, I mean, it lets you know what's going on. You have a good understanding of what's going on. And the guy is a real monster, but there's never any graphic sex or violence in the film. I really liked it. Like I said, I'm going 4 stars there.
I'm definitely add that to my watch list. Yeah, that and Spotlight. I want to see both of those, so.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about Spotlight. I kind of get like, what I've heard about Spotlight is it does not try to reach for Oscars. It's just a very straightforward, like, kind of investigative journalism type movie, which those are good. You know, I'm not expecting my mind to be blown by it either, but so I'm looking forward
I was just happy The Revenant did not win Best Picture,
to
so.
it. I think a lot of people were kind of happy about that. Of course, though, Iñárritu or whatever his name
He
is
won
did
Best
win that.
Director, but
Of
yeah.
course. Of course he did.
I'll let him have that as long as, like, I feel
I
like
just,
The Revenant was the best movie, you know?
and I heard that like Leonardo DiCaprio's performance in it was fine, but you
Yeah,
know.
it definitely felt like a, hey, we should give Leo an Oscar.
Yeah, it's about time already. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, he's put in so much good work anyways, but yeah,
Right.
I saw a lot of people kind of like, well, at least it wasn't the Revenant. And I kind of called beforehand. I was talking with some people beforehand. I'm like, I could see Spotlight winning. I've seen it won at some of the award shows, you know, for Best Picture. I forgot which one I saw it win. I was like, it has a chance, you know. And it did. And good for it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm interested to see it. Room, I was like super excited for, and I think it did mostly live up to expectations.
Cool.
So, anyways, that's Room and a little bit Oscars right there. What else? What else have you seen this last?
Oh Lord, I saw something that's
Oh,
definitely not gonna be nominated for an Oscar.
maybe a Razzie? Maybe a Razzie?
You know what? I think the Razzies are trying too hard. I mean, if we want to go down that alley,
I
like,
followed the Razzies
yeah.
and
Well, I
whatever.
think they nominate like mainstream movies so that they can get like so they can go, look, Adam Sandler's the worst actor or
Yeah, like
whatever.
let's make fun of
Like, instead of
Pixels
like
or see
there are a
real
whole lot
garbage.
worse movies out there than Pixels or whatever else they had up there for this year's. But I think they do that because they know that, you know, what was it, Holly Berry? Was she the one that went the one year and accepted the award, or after she had won the Oscar, like she kind of played with it, had fun with it, or whatever. Maybe it wasn't her. There was somebody that like had won an Oscar and then the next year was nominated for a Razzie and actually
That
showed up.
sounds like it could be her because she did a lot of garbage both before and after her Oscar win, so.
Yeah, I saw Cabin Fever,
Dear Lord, dude.
the remake of, you know, that classic 2002 film, Cabin Fever.
You're saying that jokingly, right? I mean,
I mean, I really like Cabin
but
Fever. It is not a
yeah,
classic horror film.
we both really like Cabin Fever. But I don't feel like it's aged a lot. Like I said, there's a few things that were like the pancake shit in the original, like that was goofy. Like the stuff with the rednecks was goofy, but otherwise it was like some really terrifying shit. The effects hold up. I don't understand this one whatsoever, man.
So what do you remember about the original Cabin Fever?
I remember the amazing bathtub scene.
Yes.
I remember them like locking this girl in a shed and like part of her face is gone at one point. I remember there was like a stoner character who I really found amusing. That's about it. I
Okay.
remember Eli Roth comes and smokes pot with them or something. Was that movie? Yeah, I thought I
Yes.
remember a decent amount, and I remember there's some weird rednecks kind of like in the town nearby,
Yeah,
and
there's some like weird redneck, like racist
That was the
rednecks.
only thing that didn't fit in the original for me. Otherwise, I thought it was a very fun horror movie, you know?
Yeah, very weird, like at the beginning of that movie where it just felt very out of place. Like I think that Roth was trying to set it up to be, hey, this is unsettling for these kids and like they're definitely the outsiders out here. This new one sets it up very similarly. It's not a shot for shot remake, which is good because that would have been really bad. But whereas the those rednecks in the beginning of Ross movie are eventually like, you know, they do some bad shit in the movie, but they're ultimately played out as like the racism thing is kind of a joke. It's tied up all the way to the end. It's not a good joke, but it's played for a joke. That stuff's thrown out here. I could see why, but it definitely does make the rednecks come across like bigger assholes. Kind of a, let's see, like a wrong turnish almost, like if they were mutants. Like they're just that kind of like borderline Neanderthal and like just really nasty people, and they don't really bring anything to it, but neither does anybody else in this movie. So everything you remember about the original was there, like the you know, the pancakes and the stranger, I think it was Roth in the original, that like just kind of wanders up on them and has pot and smokes a pot with them out at their bonfire. There is the sheriff who is like a deputy sheriff or whatever, kind of younger dude, like comes out and he's like all kind of like hanging out with them after, you know, the crazy guy kills himself out in, or they kill him, I guess. But the cop is just kind of like playing with them or whatever. They gender swap that here, where it's now a female deputy. It brings nothing to it though. It's played exactly the same way, just like goofy, like, yeah, man, I like the party too. Like, everything about this is just really weird. Like, the bathtub scene is there, but it's the way they handle the bathtub scene. I remember the bathtub scene, and maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I remember it being in like the first half of the movie. Like, it's before everybody starts kind of
It's like the
formulating the
first,
symptoms.
it's like the first girl who gets sick,
Right,
and
yes. So
yeah.
in this, the first girl that gets sick, and it's the same situation where it's like, you know, the one guy, and he's like trying to hook up with her, and she's like the more wholesome of the girls that are there, and you know, they're like laying in bed and they're finally getting ready to like get it on, and he sticks his hands down between her legs and pulls up like half of her from the bottom, and it's like all kind of gross. It's like, oh, it's guess you're like, I think they even play it off as like, you're sick or something, why don't you go into the tub, and she does, and then she starts shaving her legs. And in this, that girl, like that whole pre-sex scene kind of happens, but at that point it's like, no, she's fucking sick, like lock her in the room. And so all that plays out. They lock her in the shed, like she can hardly walk. They put her in the shed just like they do in the original. And then the other girl and that guy who was getting ready to hook up with the one in the shed, after this, the one friend is like basically rotting away in the shed. Another one is sick. He's driven off with the car. The boyfriend of the other girl has left, and he's gone off to like bunker himself up, which I believe does happen in the original. One of the goes and like bunkers himself up in a cave somewhere with the beer, and that's all he's drinking is the beer. But that happens like in the last like quarter of the movie here, and then this guy and that girl, they're the only two left at the house, and they decide to get it on right there on like the kitchen counter or whatever. And then after they're done, she goes and she hops into the tub, and then they do the shaving scene. It just doesn't have the like, it doesn't have that shock factor because you've already seen people rotting away. Like that razor blade scene, that shaving scene in the original, still one of like the most unnerving scenes for me. Like.
And well, even if you do it as well as that,
Yeah, it's still just the same
whoa,
thing.
you're doing the thing we saw 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You got to come up with something different. Like,
There's nothing different here. There's nothing added to it. There's.
it's just parts moved around
Yeah,
and
it's just
swapping
parts moved around and it's
a
not.
cop, female cop, and
Yeah, it's like we're gonna gender swap here. We're gonna move this scene around here, but we're not gonna like make this a better movie. We're not gonna try, you know, say we will about horror, but a lot of the times they're trying to make points on things with the horror. And this has none of that. It's just like, hey, we liked Cabin Fever. We don't actually have an original idea for Cabin Fever, so we're gonna make Cabin Fever again, I guess. And I remember Cabin Fever really like capturing my mind too, because at the time it was coming off the backs of like, there were like these, there, I remember like flesh-eating diseases were in the news. Like that was something that was like a concern for people. Maybe not like, oh, you really gotta worry, but like it was definitely something that was being reported on. There were these weird flesh-eating diseases that nobody knew what the hell they were. At this point, that's all out. Like we know what this shit is. Like that part of the horror doesn't work, so you need to find something else, and they just don't do it here. It's so
Again,
bad.
I just I don't get what the point of this was. Like, why? The only thing I could figure is this, right? Did Cabin Fever had sequels, right?
It did. There were two. They're not nearly as good as the original, but they're watchable, maybe.
Okay, maybe they were thinking, okay, we do a reboot, keep this franchise going, and then do sequels off of this one. Like, I honestly cannot fathom what the fucking point of any of this is.
Yeah, I really don't know. Like, I'm not opposed to remakes or reboots of films. Like, I mean, one of my favorite remakes in recent memory is The Hills Have Eyes. Like,
Yeah, that's great.
it's like a great updating of that movie and the themes there and bringing it, modernizing it. Like, one, Cabin Fever was only 2002, so we're only talking 14, 15 years ago.
That's the thing, is like, yeah, Hills Have Eyes was the 70s. You could revisit that material, do something new with it, and they did, and it was, I think, better, you
Right,
know?
apply it to 2000s today, like apply it to like what the world is today and what the horror would be associated there, as opposed to, the mid-70s when the original came out. This doesn't have, like, the only difference is now everyone has a cell phone, and it's like they very clear, like, very quickly go, oh, there's no cell signal.
So yeah,
Like,
no point there. Yeah, or even like look at like I understand Let the Right One In, that being remade with Let Me In, because like all right, it's a they're remaking a foreign film,
right.
and they did something different with it. They changed the look of it, they changed the setting. It's actually a superior film, the remake, I think.
Right.
So like some of these remakes, yeah, I get it. Texas Chainsaw. The original is a classic. The remake is really fun. Like, but yeah, I just as soon as I heard about this, I was like, "What in the fuck?" And from what you're telling me,
I mean,
it's pretty shitty.
it's very, very obvious that they knew it was shitty. Like, this movie came out on February 12th. I don't know if it actually hit theaters or not, but yeah, it released directly on like video on demand, which isn't a bad thing for some films. Like, I remember last year, It Follows, like that did release in theaters, but very shortly thereafter came out came out on video on demand. And same
Was it
with like Ex
really?
Machina, like they got limited release runs, but they're like way better movies too.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the appeal here was. I don't get it. Cabin Fever wasn't like, hey, this is a great series, we need to bring it back. At best, it was a really good horror film that spawned some like direct-to-video sequels
Yeah.
that nobody really cared about.
I never saw them, and I was a pretty big fan of Cabin Fever,
Right. I
so.
mean, Eli Roth had very little to do with it other
Yeah.
than like a kind of a world-creating credit or whatever. And there are ways to do things with the Cabin Fever horror. Like, I mean, it was about tainted water. Like, the original was about tainted water. Like, you could have played off of that and done
Flint,
something
Michigan,
different,
man.
right? Like, but no, like they go the exact same route with it. In fact, they spend less time on it. Like, it's like hey, these are memorable scenes from Cabin Fever, we should do them. But we don't actually remember where they were in the movie, so we're just gonna place them wherever. It's yeah, it is not good. It's a really bad movie. Very early on, I was contemplating just shutting it down and not watching it, like not finishing it. I'm gonna go 1 star here. Like, I really, really
Oh.
did not like it. And I don't. I try to go into movies and at least find something to enjoy out of it. At nothing. There's zero to pull out of here.
I have to mark this down. We have a 1 star from Chris. I think we're gonna like I told you my idea for this, right? We're gonna revisit this near the end of the year and
Yeah.
see all the 5 stars and 1 stars. 1 star from Chris for Cabin Fever.
It's a really bad movie.
I will just let my memories of the original remain untainted by this. Like, there is, like, I could see why you rented it to watch it. Like, just this morbid curiosity of what the hell?
Yeah, why?
But
And you know, it's a brand new movie. I want to see some stuff from 2016.
yeah.
I mean, sometimes we talk about it. There are good remakes. There are remakes that make good on that. This is not one of them. You saw a horror film though,
That I did.
much better than Cabin Fever, if I remember
Yes.
correctly.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You and I are both pretty big horror fans. I feel like there's been a whole, like, there's a few things that I need to catch up on, but one of the big ones, like kind of like a bigger series, or at least mid-tier, is Phantasm. Never seen any of them. I knew very little. I knew that there was like a little sphere that flies around and there was a tall man. That's all I knew about it, honestly. So I decided I'm going to go through that. There's four of them. I started with the original, from 1978, low budget horror film. It's really weird. You've seen this one, right?
I've seen the original Phantasm, yeah.
It's a weird movie, dude. I mean, I kind of knew that going in it was going to be weird. Just bonkers, bizarre, very like the it almost defies like logic or any sort of like making like, sense. There is a plot there. It's like it's like these two brothers, their parents are dead, like they died, who knows how. Somebody they know dies, and the one little brother like sees this tall guy grab like the casket from the cemetery and like load it up into a hearse and like drive away with it. And this kid's just like, "What the hell is going on?" So he keeps like investigating what's going on at the cemetery. And lo and behold, I mean, you could try to make sense of it. The best I could do is like the tall man is part of like an alien race or some people from another dimension who are harvesting dead people from Earth and turning them into evil midgets, which is just fucking great. It's like wildly imaginative and just bonkers, like fucking insane. So I kind of love just how entirely original the plot is that there's these weird goings on at a cemetery at a funeral parlor, and this creepy dude is using dead people and turning them into midgets, and then using like them turning the midgets into like this slave race for some civilization that's in another realm. Like, what on earth? And this is like a low budget like horror movie from the 70s, and it's got like these like for a low budget film, it's got like pretty like impressive special effects, just and a lot of like interesting ideas. Like I said, it's pretty much nuts and doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I think that's kind of the fun of it. And just the whole like weird sci-fi like crazy plot of it, like I really kind of dug that. There's also part of me too that like I remember when I was like as a teenager or somewhere around 13 to 15, I used to like write a lot of stories about kids who would sneak out at night and go on these adventures, and they would find out that there's like this dark, mysterious world that goes on at night that like, you don't know about because you're, in bed or whatever. Like I used to love writing stories like that, and this is kind of like basically something like that. It's like a kid who discovers there's like something evil going on. Some of the like the sphere thing, like that's like the first kill is like this fucking sphere comes flying down a hallway and like embeds itself in this guy's head and just blood starts squirting out of it. It's pretty awesome. There's like cool part where the kid cuts off the tall guy's fingers and yellow blood comes out. So all that shit I thought was kind of cool. I think the only thing that I didn't dig about it is it didn't give me enough of that stuff. It didn't give me enough kills or gore. or any of that. It was just, I mean, it was a lot of like them, like, what's going on? And like, let's go investigate this place again. But I didn't feel like I got enough really cool kills out of it. So I'm hoping to, with the sequels, that they'll like ramp that shit up. Like, especially with like the second one, I think came out in like 1987 or 88 or something like that.
88, yeah.
Yeah, so like 10 years after, or almost 10 years after the first one, is they somehow just for whatever reason decided to make a sequel. I've heard really good things about Phantasm 2 as well, so I'm kind of hoping like that sequel will like kind of up the cheese factor and the gore factor that I think was. I do feel like, you know, it had some great effects and a couple cool kills, but I would have, you know, if you're gonna go that route, just give me more of that, you know. I don't know. Do you remember this movie well, or?
I saw it a few years ago. I remember it being good. I remember liking it. Like,
Yeah.
it definitely has like that late 70s, early 80s vibe to it. But I do remember thinking, "Hey, this is pretty decent," and coming away with it. I don't remember a ton about it other than like the creepy tall guy and his magic like alien balls, but. Yeah, I remember enjoying it. I've never seen the other two though. The other three, I guess there's three other ones. And I'm looking this up as we're talking. There's a fifth movie,
That
that has
there
yet to
is.
be released, I guess.
I saw that when I was like reading up on it. After I watched the first one, I was like, you know, just reading up on it a little bit. One, Angus Scrimma died earlier this year.
Yeah, early in January, I guess.
But
There's a whole Phantasm site, so it's like,
yeah, it is a beloved series, I guess. You know, I don't know how. I know that the second one a lot of people like really, really love. Like, a lot of people like it more than the first. I don't know anything about three and four. I don't know how those were received by the fans. I do find it interesting that it's like the same guys kind of like made all these movies, and there's gonna be a fifth and final one now. And that Angus Scrimm, the guy who plays the tall man, he acted in it. He, you know, they were able to finish the movie before he died, so.
Yeah, evidently it was finished last May. So I'm hoping that like with that coming out and in less than 2 weeks, evidently J.J. Abrams somehow got involved and he remastered the original film.
4K.
Yeah, in 4K, and it is going to be showing at South by Southwest on the 14th, I guess. So I'm hoping that like maybe after that's released, they'll re-release these movies, because the only one that is easy to get seems to be Phantasm 2.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm surprised, like, what is that, Scream Factory or Shout Factory or whatever hasn't. I think with a new one coming out and this and that, and the fact that J.J. Abrams cares about the series, like, you would think they should get the Blu-ray treatment, you know?
Yeah, I'm like reading here that I don't know who he named, but evidently one of the characters in the new Star Wars movie was named after
Yeah.
Phantasm, so
So, look, there's a Star Wars, the new Star Wars has a Phantasm connection. So, like, this is, you know.
the director of the highest grossing
Yeah.
domestic film ever is a fan of this series, so
And, you know, it goes to show, like, it does have, like, a pretty big cult following behind it. It's just, I don't think it ever hit mainstream as big as, like, you know, all the other stuff that we grew up on and love, like Nightmare on Elm Street and
right.
stuff. But there is a big following for it, and I enjoyed the first one, and I'm pretty excited to see the rest. So it's cool. I'm happy I checked it out, and I'm happy like I actually liked it, even though it was completely nuts. And like, if you go into it like expecting it to like make a whole lot of sense, don't do that. Just go for like the weirdness and the fun of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a very weird movie, so
I found that kind of impressive that it was like going after ideas like that, and you doing like these like kind of cool special effects and just weird shit on such a low budget. And the story itself, like despite it not making sense, is kind of like decent. There's a core to it about these two brothers who are like dealing with grief and this and that. A little deeper than you know your kids at a lake just getting high or whatever, you know. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I give it 3 stars. It's kind of hard to judge a movie that's that old that you've never seen before, but I enjoyed it well enough, and I'm excited to see where the series goes from there. I saw a trailer for, I think, Phantasm 3, and oh my God, it looks so cheesy and awesome. It looks like the Dream Warriors of Phantasm movies, because it's like in the trailer, there's like this chick who like kind of looks like a punk, and she's got nunchucks, and she's fighting the sphere with nunchucks. I'm
Fucking
like,
awesome.
yeah, right. I'm like, that is fucking amazing. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see the follow-ups. So, but yeah, it's a if you're a horror fan who like me has just never caught the series, I check it out. See how you like the first one. I enjoyed it.
The guy who wrote and directed Phantasm, Don Coscarelli, he is also the director of one of my favorite childhood movies, The Beastmaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like just looked him up to see, because evidently he directed all the Phantasm movies, so
Yeah.
except for the new one.
I think he was involved though with
He
the
was
new one.
producer and he was a co-writer on it. He didn't direct that one. I don't know. Yeah, let me know how you end up liking two, 'cause I might track that one down, 'cause it's like $10 on Amazon. The other ones, oh wow, they are freaking expensive. Three,
Three and four
yeah, three is $62, and
on DVD.
yeah, on DVD, and four is $50.
That's incredible.
But
Holy
yeah,
shit.
I get two for I could either get it on Blu-ray for 19, or I. Actually, there's a four pack of horror movies, with The Funhouse, The Serpent and the Rainbow, and that has Phantasm 2 in it as well. That's $5. I might order that.
That is probably worth it, dude,
Yeah, I'm
honestly.
sure that the actual prints are terrible, but just for
Yeah.
like Serpent and the Rainbow, I remember being pretty decent.
What was the other one you said that was on there?
The Funhouse and
I dude. I
S S S S S.
Funhouse is one of those weird movies for me when I was a kid that I feel like I have a personal connection to because it was just like I saw it, like I randomly caught it on cable, but I felt like no one else ever saw that movie, you know what I mean? So it's
Right.
just like it felt like it was my movie growing up. Like, yeah, Funhouse, man. Have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen
It's
Funhouse.
not bad. It's, you know, a cool little 80s like horror movie. It's based on a book by Dean Koontz, and he adapted the book. I want to say he was the one that adapted it, like wrote the screenplay, but the two have very little to do with each other, like at all. Like, you know, his book had an actual like story and a, like, you know, better plot, and this was just like kids getting killed in a fun house.
Something weird.
And there's like freaks and stuff that work at the circus and they're or at this carnival and they're killing kids in the fun house. Yeah, dude, that's a pretty awesome four pack, honestly. I'd pick it up. I don't know what the hell this
I
is,
don't
but
know. Looks like a snake movie.
probably, yeah.
Anaconda before Anaconda.
Yeah. I'm sure it's fantastic.
I bet.
Is that it for movies this week?
For movies, yeah, I did not see anything else. I've got some stuff on tap for this coming week, but
What do you got? Because I got not much.
I'm gonna take my kids to go see Zootopia,
Oh, yeah.
which I've heard really good things about.
The trailer for that movie was
Yeah,
hilarious.
with the sloths.
The DMV, yeah.
Yeah,
Oh my
it's
God,
so
it was so
good.
funny.
And I may go see London Has Fallen. I liked the original, the one before this, Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
It's like Gerard Butler, Aaron Eckhart, Morgan Freeman. It looks like a goofy 24 slash Die Hard type movie, which
It's just,
I could use a good action movie right about now, so.
yeah, sure. It's just funny that they're trying to turn that into a series. I guess the
I
first one
yeah, I was like,
done well
really?
enough.
Like, what the hell are you, like,
Yeah.
it's probably terrible, but
I can't distinguish it from there's like another White House Down or
White House
whatever.
Down, yeah, that one, Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx. think it's Jamie Foxx.
But yeah, I think Jamie Foxx is, I haven't seen either of these movies, but I heard a little bit about them. I think actually We Hate Movies did an episode on Olympus Has Fallen, like really recently, so.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It's an okay action movie.
Yeah, I heard it's kind of like a Die Hard clone, which is whatever, that's fine, you know. I'd watch them if I caught them on TV. I'm not gonna go out of my way to see the first one. I should see Zootopia though. I don't know. Let me know. I
I
guess we'll
will.
find out.
I hear it's really good. Actually, it's holding 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and reviews
Dang.
started coming out 2 weeks ago, so
That is really good.
yeah.
TV front.
Yeah, let's quickly talk some TV.
You've been watching Better Call Saul?
I've seen the first two episodes. I think the third one just aired this past week.
Yeah. I really like the second episode. What do you, I mean, what do you, I don't know if I've really talked with you about this series at all, like what you think of it. Like, what do you think of it in general?
Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
I really liked season one. Thought it was fun, good.
Yeah.
And I have liked the first two episodes of this a lot.
See, I wrestle with it. I go back and forth because, like, you want it to be as exciting as Better or as Breaking Bad, but it's not that show. It's not
No,
like the story it's
it's
telling.
no. Actually, it follows Jimmy's descent to becoming that lawyer in Breaking Bad. So,
Yeah.
I mean, there's little bits and pieces of him, but actually, like for most of the first season, like he's actually a pretty good-hearted guy.
He is an extremely likable character.
Right.
Like, even into season two here, as he's starting to do things that are kind of dumb. And he's always, he came from a background where he was kind of a bad guy before he became a lawyer. Not a bad guy, he pulled scams and stuff,
Yeah, he's a scammy lawyer.
Yeah. But they really make you like him in this show, and like kind of fear for what you know is gonna happen to him.
Yes.
I it's and it's just I don't know. It somehow is. It's a really good show with a pretty different vibe from Breaking Bad, but it still has like the kind of look of Breaking Bad. You got Mike in there with like, if you're looking for your crime thriller angle that Breaking Bad had, like that's definitely playing more strongly into it. And Mike's stories are great. Like learning more about that character. All you knew about him in Breaking Bad is he was a total badass. He used to be a cop, and he really loves his granddaughter.
Right.
Well, here you get to see why that is, like why he's so protective of his granddaughter, and kind of where he comes from. I don't know. It's a surprisingly good show. I did wrestle with like the first episode of season two. I was just like, this is more of the same, and I want to see him kind of ramp it up and get to like the crazier shit happening. But it's still, like where
Yeah.
he's. I want him to get to him being a real dirty lawyer and like getting into bad situations and stuff. But the show's really taking its time to get there.
Well, I mean, you also don't know how long they. I don't. Do we know exactly how far out this is from?
I think it's maybe 2 years.
It's
Like
just
2 years before he meets Walter White. I want to say
okay.
that's where the show starts at.
Huh. All right.
But I think in the second episode of this season, they really did start to show how he can't help himself and he's gonna turn into this no matter what. Like, and it's cool because his plot line ties into Mike's storyline at the end. He has to help Mike out and he ends up falsifying evidence and he thinks nothing of it. He's just like, I'm just gaming the system a little
I'm
bit.
doing what I have to do to make my
Yeah.
client win. Like,
To the point when he tells his girlfriend about it, like he doesn't think that what he's saying is anything like crazy, and she's like, "Are you serious? You really did that?" And he's like, "Yeah, why?" And she's like, "That's falsifying evidence. You could like lose your whole career and like that, like
right, and she's worked so hard to get him
to
to this
get him."
point.
Yeah. So I really liked that second episode, and the second episode had a really funny part too about the this guy he's trying to help out with the squat cobbler.
Yes. Just the way that whole plays out, though, it's like, oh, this is wrong. Like, he's like talking about it, and it's like, oh, he's saying this dude does like sex things and
Yeah, you knew it was gonna be something like
yeah.
that, and then, but then when he starts describing what it is,
It's
it's
like
like,
it
what?
just gets more and more absurd. He's like, what? Well, he it's pies. It's pies. He is fully clothed and he sits in pies and cries. It's like, what? And yeah, he comes up with a whole bunch of different names for it. And the one that stuck with me, I think it stuck with you too, was Squat Cobbler.
Yeah, well, I think that was like the name of the episode was
What
Cobbler
was
or something like
yeah, it
that.
was yeah, I think it was that.
Yeah, but he's like the Boston cream pie splat. No, you guys haven't heard of this? Like, and that's all Bob Odenkirk. I guarantee you, that's Bob Odenkirk, like coming up with all those different names for the act of sitting in pie.
He just does it like off, and it
Yeah, so
just
you
comes
can
off
tell
so
it. He's just,
naturally.
yeah, he's just ad-libbing, just coming up with shit. What the hell else? There's something else I wanted to. Oh, and, but the other thing I really like too is he is a very smart guy, and he like if he could control his tendencies to like find the easy way out or find like a scan, you know, some sort of hole in the system. Like if he would just stick to the law, he's a good lawyer. He's like
Right.
smart, like.
He would be able to, like, 'cause there's this whole thing with his brother. His brother thinks he's like a scam, like that he doesn't
Yeah.
try hard and that he's not actually a lawyer even. Like that's
Yeah,
how his
you're
brother kind of
slipping,
views him.
Jimmy.
And there's like this resentment from Jimmy on that. I can understand why, like.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually been lied to for all these years that he's been helping his brother out, and that resentment kind of leads to Jimmy sliding into these bad habits of his, when really if he would just like listen to his girlfriend,
Yeah.
like he has the perfect job, he has like the corner office now, and all he has to do is work this case. Because it's his case.
Yeah. It's really interesting, and I think you'll after you see a third episode, he like it's like he's a guy who he can see like the angle, like the way to like do something the wrong way and then the easy way. And he can't help but want to take that because he sees it. You know what I mean? He sees
Right.
how he can fuck everything over. But when he's forced to work within the law and do the right thing, he's actually really brilliant. So I'll be interested to see what you think of the third episode because that what I'm describing happens in that episode. Like he's forced to do something the right way and it really backfires. But what he does is like it's brilliant work. I guess you haven't seen it yet, so I don't want to say more than that. That's a good show though. It's just weird, and I don't know. I can't really complain though. I get really excited for it because it is in a way like we're getting more of that world that you know that was like my
Right.
favorite TV show ever. And to get more in that world and for it to actually be as good as it is pretty damn awesome.
Yes.
I really wanted to start tying into Breaking Bad more. Like I want like Gus to show up and you know what I mean? Like just shit like that, more like callbacks. I also finished Fargo season one.
And how'd that go?
That show is fucking amazing, dude. So like, have you seen season one or two?
No.
Oh my god! Like season, a lot of people told me season two was better, and I watched that one first because that was available like on demand for free. I went through season one on disc, and I think I like it more. Like it's just. A lot of people called it like an adapt, like the first season, like an adaptation of the film. Not really. It's kind of like the same, like dumb criminals in the Midwest type thing.
Right.
And some of the characters feel like there's like a cop character who feels like the Frances McDormand cop character from Fargo. The main character in season one, he kind of feels like William H. Macy's character from Fargo, but the storyline does not follow the same storyline as the movie. It's more of this. It's like about like a small town in the Midwest being just completely destroyed by this like almost mythical fucking hitman killer dude who strolls in, who's played by Billy Bob Thornton. And he's just like, this guy cannot be stopped. He like, there's a part where he goes through a building and kills off an entire mob, like entire like family of the mob, just on his own. And it's these small town people dealing with this guy, and it's just crazy fucking just violence and suspense for, I forgot what it was. I want to say it was somewhere from 10 to 13 episodes, and it was really damn good. Like Billy Bob Thornton, I was already a huge fan of him. I really loved him in Simple Plan. I think I like him here even more. He is just absolutely awesome as this diabolical killer, who also, like, in some parts, like there's one part where you get to see what you think his like real job might be, and you're like, and him like interacting with his customers that in that job, and you're like, no way, this guy is not that. You're just like, what the hell? Like, that's not who he really is. And then he comes back to town to kill some more. Like, it's just a great fucking show. Both seasons are great. I think that I like season one even more. You can watch them in whatever order you want. I would almost watch season two and then season one, because season two takes place in the 70s and season one takes place in 2006. So
Okay.
there's very little connective tissue between the two. And there is, but in season one, there is a small piece of connective tissue between that and the movie Fargo. I don't want to say more than that, but yeah, dude, you need to get on Fargo. You'll really enjoy it.
All right.
Like, do you like the movie?
Yeah, I thought the movie was good.
Yeah, it's, if you like the movie, you'll like the show, but I think the show's a hell of a lot more fun even than the movie.
All right.
And it fills that kind of like Breaking Bad hole, you know what I mean? Like that, like intense crime thriller type thing. So
I'll give that a go.
anything else for you this week, Chris?
No. That's it for me. Got those other ones coming up next week. I think I might have a DVD or something also lined up, but
I'll have Phantasm 2, and I will hopefully have either Black Mass or Crimson Peak.
okay.
That's all I could guarantee as of
Yeah, I may try to grab Crimson Peak if I can.
I'm interested in that one.
Yeah.
I've heard generally good things.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty good, so artistic.
Yeah. I heard just don't expect it to be full on horror.
Yeah, it's more of a romance from what I hear, so
But with ghosts.
kind of
So
okay
that
with
sounds
that, as
good.
long as like I know going in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, and I think I have The Night Before down here, because I guess that comes out next week. That's that the Christmas movie with Seth Rogen.
Oh shit. You just reminded me of something I wanted to see.
Okay.
Krampus.
Krampus. I do want to see that too. Is
Saved.
that out? That
It
can't
looks like it
pronounce it.
isn't. But I just
Yeah, I
totally
do want to
forgot
see
about it.
that.
Never added to my queue, so hell yeah.
All right, so I guess we'll be back next week then.
With stuff.
Yeah.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes.
Do 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 do.